Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether it's your very first time visiting us or you've been coming here all your life, we are so glad that you've chosen to join us in worship here today. A lot of exciting things happening in the life of the church. First off, I wanted to invite you all to Children's Sunday next week. Our children from Sunday school will be leading the worship. They've helped to write the prayers and prepare the message, and it is going to be an absolutely amazing time. Parents, remember that next week, bring your kids to the adult lounge at 9:30 so that we can all get ready and make sure we're good to go. And if you're donating boxes of pasta for the kids to use as shakers, be sure to bring those as well. Today, to get ready for Children's Sunday, the kids are going to go directly from here after the children's message into the adult lounge to do choir rehearsal with Debbie. So they're going to start out their Sunday school hour there, and they might be a few minutes late after leaving Sunday school because of rehearsal. We also have announcements for youth group coming up. Senior highs have their last youth group before the picnic tonight from 6 to 8. We're going to be serving and preparing dinner at Harbor House, so join us here. It should be a great time. All of your work project forms are due today. So senior highs, if you don't have paperwork and you need some, come find me. I have plenty extras. If you still have questions and you're not sure what's up, or if you just want to know a little more, just stay here right after worship. We're going to do a quick Q&A and talk about the work project, where we're going, where we're sleeping, what it's going to be like, all that good stuff. Hope you can join us. Other announcements?
I promised Katie that I'd try to be short, but I lied. God certainly blessed us yesterday. He heard our prayers, and we had a gorgeous day. We had a fabulous event, and we made a lot of new friends in the community. This flea market event had 53 vendors buying 75 spaces, 22 inside, and 53 out on the lawn. It was amazing, bringing that total to almost $1,200. And it was an amazing sight, seeing everybody out on the lawn. Together with six departments selling baked goods, books, baby and children's clothes, plants, jewelry, and our beloved lunch bunch ladies, we made a total of $1,900 on that part. We still have books set up in the fellowship hall. If anyone would like to browse through those books and shop, they're wonderful, good quality hardback and paperback books. I know we usually have food left over after an event like this in the fellowship hall, but it's not happening this year. We sold food up till 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and it all was sold. Between Bill DeSero and Katie and our band of mighty youth, they made over $600 in food sales. And what a blessing. The youth leaders were I'm so excited. Youth leaders working with the kids were amazing and took care of the cleanup in record time. And they were a blessing to those of us who wanted to drop over. Thank you all for that. I have to say a few thank yous and mention a few names, Katie. I'm sorry. The planning team members, Sue Mancini, Dorothy Munt, Kay Harder, Laura Nolan, Ann Haig, and, of course, Frona. Thank you to the department team leaders who said yes when they were asked, Amanda Adams, Joanne Vander, and the lunch ladies. That would be Carol Howell, and June Hungerford was there all day. To the church members who bought spaces and joined in the fun, to all the volunteers and coordinators, I can't mention all those names or Katie will drum me out of here. Without you stepping up, we couldn't have had an activity like this, especially for new and tried event. Especially Thanks to Bill DeCero and Kay Harder, who worked together for the best food shopping values. Kay Harder, I couldn't do it without you. To Ed Koontz and Buzz Bowman, who were there every time I needed something moved. I tell you, you can't beat a man with a truck. Jason Taylor and the Board of Trustees for letting us use the front lawn, and for all those who donated baked foods. They made over $325 just in baked foods. So you all who cooked them, you did great. Jack and Linda Beatty for interpreting my layout of the front lawn and spray painting all those squares, 53 squares in the front lawn, and keeping their sanity. Special thank you to our new member, Roger Best, I don't know where he is, and Bill Grimes, who worked his head off for 2 days. You were all awesome, doing all the backstage activities that make an event successful. It takes a community to make a successful event, and that community certainly stepped up. Thank you.
Being such an amazing organizer of this entire event, getting us going, keeping us going, and helping it to be a wonderful day. Thank you. Now let us worship God together.
I invite you to stand as able and join me in the call to worship. On this day, we gather with thanksgiving in our hearts. God's love is ever constant in our lives. Today, we share together what we believe. As we enter this time of worship,
may we renew our desire,
power, and control,
remembering that you are the creator of all.
Let us give thanks for God's powerful grace. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Creator God, you promised to guide us through your commandments and your spirit, but we still reach out for more. You tell us to follow you, and we run elsewhere. We seek the power to make the world work for our needs, instead of working to help the world you have created. Help us to let go our need to be in control and open us up to your still, small voice. May we be open to new ways of living together instead of depending on old structures, power, and dominance. Amen. Do not lose heart. When we go astray, Christ is there to show us a new way of life.
Glory to God, gives us and offers us grace. Alleluia. Amen.
Now, will the children please come join me up front? Can you hear well enough? All right. We're all sitting back there? Okay. People with Buzz Lightyear shirts, sit up here. Everyone else, sit down here. We good? Okay, good. All right. So I want to tell you a story today about a kingdom a long, long time ago. It was a place called Israel. It was a place where one day Jesus would grow up. And in that place, they just did whatever they thought was a good idea. They did whatever they thought was right, and they tried to help each other. They didn't have anyone in charge. How does that sound to you guys? Good.
Good. Not very good.
Not very good. Okay, not very good. How come?
Because what if you take it out and shove it in somebody's eye?
That's true. You could do something bad to someone. So the people...
Or call them a name.
Oh, yeah, you might call them a bad name, too. So the people of Israel were very afraid because they wanted someone to make sure that other people were good.
So they made up policemen.
Nope. So they got a king. But good guess. King Saul. Yep, they all wanted a king, someone there to take care of them and help them, and to help them be brave when they were afraid. Who do we have who helps us to be brave? Do we have anyone like that? Who? Your parents? Yeah, totally. Someone else? God? Yeah, what do you think? Your friends and family? Yeah, definitely. So when you guys are afraid and you feel like you need someone to help you, yeah, then you can definitely get someone, or you can pray to God or ask someone in your church to help you feel brave together. Do you guys have someone you could ask if you're scared, someone to help you out? Yeah? Your mom and dad? Definitely. Not the wall. The wall will not help you. All right, let's all pray together, okay? Dear God, help us when we're scared. Help us to take care of each other. Amen. All right. Time to go to choir now, okay?
First reading of the word today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13 through chapter 5 verse 1. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raises the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heavens.
Our second reading of the word today comes from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 8, verses 4 through 20. Listen for God's word. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us, then, a king to govern us, like other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel, and they said, "Give us a king." Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them, just as they have done to me from the day I brought them up out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so also they are doing to you. Now listen then to their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." So Samuel reported all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. He will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take 1/10 of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his courtiers. He will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkeys, and put them to his work. He will take 1/10 of your flocks, and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, "No, but we are determined to have a king over us, so that we may also be like other nations, and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles." Friends, this is God's word read for us today. Sometimes it can be difficult to get people to listen to you. Even animals, creatures that theoretically have been bred and trained to obey commands, don't always actually pay attention. My childhood dog, when I was growing up, really could do two commands very well: eat a treat and ignore me. He was good at running in circles when I wanted him to stay, very good at barking when I wanted him to not, and would occasionally do things like sleep if I commanded him to do so when he was already sleeping. It's not easy sometimes to be a leader, to get people to follow your commands. And dogs, especially cats, and even people don't always want to listen. So it's a lot easier to say something if you're going to command someone to do something they really wanted to do anyway. In fact, probably the easiest way to be a leader would be to figure out what the people want to do and then act like it was your idea all along. Today's Bible passage is focused on politics from thousands of years ago, but somehow their problems sound pretty familiar. A group of people want something, and they want to find a leader who will let them do exactly that and not make anything else too tricky. Long ago, the people of Israel existed in tribes, without a king to unite them. All around them were countries who worshipped other gods, and those countries were ruled by kings who had been chosen by their gods. Very convenient. They went to war with each other often. Israel is no stranger to war at this time. The people fought battles to gain their land at the walls of Jericho, after all. They often defend themselves. But amazingly enough, Israel has been able to defend themselves and exist in their land without a government to organize them or a king to tell them what to do. Instead, each tribe takes care of each other. Elders in each town try to settle disputes, and for the really big problems, they call Samuel, a prophet who speaks to God. Samuel is good at settling little arguments and keeping the peace inside Israel, but he isn't a fighter. Samuel is more at home praying to God than he is leading an army, and the Israelites are getting nervous about this. They're surrounded by big, scary nations with kings who lead them into war. So the Israelites decide that they want a king too. They want to be like all the other countries and to have a person to lead them into battle. After all, right now their only authority figure is Samuel, who's more of an elderly priest than a commander. And Samuel gets angry at the people to think that they need a king. For generations now, Israel has been a group of cities who get to think for themselves. They worship the same God, sure, but otherwise they don't have too much holding them together. With a king ruling over them, the entire nation can have one common goal of defeating their neighboring countries in war. And they could have common problems, like paying taxes to the new government, or being conscripted into service, or into the military, or... You know, this actually sounds like kind of a terrible plan. Why did the Israelites want a king so badly, especially one that will take them into war? Why would these people want to have less freedom and have to give up some of their earnings just to have a king tell them what to do? Well, it would make the Israelites a lot less responsible for their actions, that's for sure. Kings aren't known for listening to their subjects and carefully considering everyone's opinion. You don't have to vote for them. You don't get to vote for them. So instead, they simply command and lead. They're dictators who tell their subjects what to do and then take the rewards. They live, well, like kings. They have the best from every part of their nation, with plenty of servants to pamper them. And when a king tells you what to do, you don't have to question whether it's a good idea or not. When the Israelites demand a king, they're trying to give up a lot of freedom and a lot of responsibility. And sometimes it seems like having a king might be a lot easier than having to make our own decisions. After all, kings are chosen by bloodline, or in this case by God, so they're not really our responsibility. And if they tell us which countries to hate and how to live, things could get a lot easier. The Israelites want a king because they've looked at the other nations and seen how much simpler life is when someone else is making decisions for you. With a king, they could relax, knowing that somebody will handle their problems. Somebody else will tell them how to unite as one nation. Somebody else will worry about the poor people in Israel or the foreigners in their midst. Somebody else will decide how to treat others and how the people of Israel should live. And the Israelites won't have to figure out much because they could just follow orders. It would be easier for the Israelites, for most countries, if that approach actually worked. If they just got a king, one person to make decisions, and then they never had to actually worry about how to be good again. Maybe the Israelites could even delegate following God to their leader. Great! And then just do whatever he says. That way they could blame him if anything goes wrong. If a king is in charge, Maybe the Israelites don't have to worry too much about their own actions. It wouldn't be their fault if people are hungry or outcast, because it's the king's job to run everything. Except, that doesn't work with God. The Israelites want a king to make their decisions, especially the tough choices. They act like if a king is in charge, they can relax. But as Israel quickly finds out, having a king doesn't mean the rest of the country can just take a nap. If somebody has to go fight a war, the king isn't going to go alone. If somebody has to care for the poor and the sick, the king definitely won't be the person out there doing it. And if somebody has to enforce laws, the king will need quite a few somebodies to help. Having a king sounds like it could be a relief. Finally, someone else to make all the choices. Except having a leader doesn't let everybody else off the hook. If the king makes a bad decision that goes against God's will, the people can't simply follow orders and hope for the best. Instead, they're called to follow their God by speaking up and following God's path. It's easy to see where Israel as kings might be acting like other nations, but not obeying God's will. After all, this passage includes mentions of people owning male and female slaves as if that's no big deal. There's clearly a lot here that needs to change. The Israelites want a king to make decisions for them, somebody to stand up and take action if they're not brave enough to do it alone. But one king, no matter how great he ends up being, can't be the moral compass of an entire nation. The king needs wise consultants to help him, and brave leaders to inspire others. He's going to need an entire nation of people to build community together. Otherwise, one king isn't going to make it very far. Following a king turns out not to be as easy as the Israelites were hoping. They have to commit themselves wholeheartedly to his plans, and to still follow God's commandments, even when they aren't mentioned in the king's laws. After all, there still isn't today a command from the government to love each other, and yet we are still called to do it every day. Needless to say, the Israelites can't outsource doing good any better than we can do it now. It might be easier to make good decisions with a strong leader, but the follow-through is always a group action. They wanted a leader to tell them what to do, to be the somebody who decided everything and got things done. The Israelites thought that having one powerful person in charge would be fine by God, and yet we know that's not true. God didn't give the people of Israel one powerful king to do everything. God gave them King Saul the warrior first, sure, but then God sent King David the poet and King Solomon the thinker, and then eventually one final king in David's line, Jesus Christ. The Israelites asked for a king to lead them into battle. That line of kingship begins in this passage today, but it ends all the way with Jesus, the Prince of Peace, washing his disciples' feet. Christ the King listens to the little children around him. His greatest command is to love God and to love your neighbor, not to go to war. Christ the King listens to the concerns of sinners. He touches lepers. He gives his followers the power to preach salvation, and he sacrifices himself so that we could have the grace to build God's kingdom of peace. Jesus came not to take control, but to give each person the power to change the world with God's love and new hope. Christ the King comes to break down the walls that separate us and to call each and every one of us to be bearers of God's love. As Christians, we can read our scriptures and see where the world falls short of God's call. We teach our children about how to be good people, and then we look around us and see that something is still wrong. Somebody should do something about that, I guess. The problem is when somebody has to do something, that person is usually us. You ever read the news or see a person hurting near you and you're like, oh, well, that's too bad. Somebody ought to do something. Guess what? You ever been in church and realized something was missing and thought, oh, well, somebody ought to do something about that. Well, you're somebody. And so am I. so is each one of us. God gives us the power to stand up for what's right and to make a difference. And if we're worried that somebody should do it, it's probably one of us. There are times when it'd be easier to just see problems and demand that somebody else take control and fix it for us. But God created us all with the ability to make the world better. And Christ calls each one of us to be the change that the world needs to become the kingdom of God. Know that you are somebody who can help share God's love with the world. You're responsible for helping to share the good news, for bringing about justice in our world. And as the church, we have been given Christ's grace so that we have the power to share God's love with every person we meet. Let's prepare ourselves for communion today, remembering that we are all called to stand around that one table as equals, guided in love by the King of Kings who asks everything from us and gives us the strength to work for peace in this world. Amen. Please join me together in our affirmation of faith that's printed in your bulletin, taken today from the Scots Confession. We confess and acknowledge one God alone, to whom we must cleave, whom alone we must serve, whom only we must worship, and in whom alone we put our trust, who is eternal, infinite, immeasurable, incomprehensible, omnipotent, invisible, one in substance and yet distinct in three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, by whom we confess and believe all things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, to have been created, to be retained in their being, and to be ruled and guided by his inscrutable providence, for such end as his eternal wisdom, goodness, and justice have appointed, and to the manifestation of his own invited to one table, God's table, where we are all called to eat, drink, and share love together. This is not just Gates Presbyterian's table, or even just a Presbyterian table. Every person from east and west, north and south, is called to come together and share in this holy meal. Every person here who wants to become closer to Jesus Christ is invited to share together and eat with us. Let us give thanks for the wonderful meal that God has given us. God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to God.
Let us give thanks to the God who reigns over us all.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing to give thanks to you, God, Creator of heaven and earth. In ancient days, you created us in your image, calling us to live in relationship with all creation and with you. We saw a different way and instead grabbed for power that was not ours. We strayed from your path, Distracted by chasing after worthless things, we moved as far away as we could from you. But you brought us back, time and time again, through the power of your commandments, through the words of your prophets, and finally the saving grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. We give thanks that even in our pride, you reach out to us and offer us a new way of living. You give us hope and empower us to share your love in the world. In thanksgiving, we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and place, saying,
Holy, 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 God our God, heaven and earth behold your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who guides us from sin and death. Hosanna in the highest.
Christ died, witness to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will come, blessing us forever. Holy God, send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and this cup, simple gifts which grace us with your life, and send your Spirit upon those who gather around your table. May the bread we break and the cup we bless unite us with the living Christ, with all those who believe in you, so that we may truly be your people. As we are welcomed at your table of grace, may we open our hearts to all who have been forsaken by the world. Glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life, on this first day of the week and in all the days to come. Amen. We tell the stories of our faith together to unite us, generation to generation, to teach us all about God's love. So let me tell you what I have been told. On the night he was arrested, Jesus, having loved his disciples, loved them until the end. And so when they were sitting down together to share a meal, he took up the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying to them, "Take. Eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength, he took that common bread and he made it holy, just as he takes us, common people, and makes us holy. We cannot live by bread alone. And so after supper, Jesus gave thanks and poured out the cup,
saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins.
With it comes faith you didn't even know you were looking for, faith to surprise you, faith to make you whole. Let us come together in grace, knowing that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim Christ's sacrifice and love for us all until he comes again. Come, all is ready. Friends, this is the bread of life broken for us. Taste, know that God is good. Friends, this is the cup of salvation poured out for all of us. Taste and know God's love.
Abundant God, you made the feast that nourish. You made this feast the nourishment we need to live as your beloved children, and share your grace with our neighbors. Continue to inspire us to be your hands and feet in the world so that we might grow more connected with you and all of creation. With this food and this drink, let us be the love that we have found in you. Amen.
Now comes the time when we come together to give thanks for the wonderful joys in our lives, to share news of people we love, and to also ask for prayers when we need it most and lift up our fears and concerns. Who has something they'd like to share with us today?
Hi, it's me again. You know, as soon as you stand up and you start thanking people by name, you invariably leave somebody out. And I have done that. About a week ago, Sue Mancini came up with a whole bunch of plants. And Mary Hughes spent all day yesterday selling plants. And I left her name out. So thank you very much to Mary Hughes and to Sue for the plants.
Hi, my name is Katie Steinmiller. I just have prayers of joy for a friend who returned home from Texas last week. She was living there, and now she's coming home. So,
good morning, Bruce Taylor. I have two prayers to ask for this morning. One is for Cheryl's mother, who happens to be in Park Ridge Hospital presently, suffering from pain that's restricting her walking capabilities. And then a second prayer for very close extended relatives of our extended part of our family is Debbie and Kevin Porter, who are the in-laws for our daughter Jennifer Taylor Porter, and as they process their Deb's father into hospice care.
Prayers for them.
JC with Sean. Just would like to ask for prayers for Omar as he prepared this week to head back to Texas. He will be traveling and he starts his new position next Sunday, the 14th. And also for Travel Mercy as well. I traveled with him on Friday to help him pack, and she'll be returning tomorrow. Again, prayers for Omar and safe travel for Velta. Thank you.
Bridget Wohlers. Probably six, maybe longer, months ago, I mentioned a family member who was waiting for a heart transplant, and two Sundays ago, he got his heart transplant. He is doing much better than they anticipated, still in Massachusetts General Hospital, but is doing amazing. So continued prayers for recovery for him and his family, and they are also asking for continued prayers of the family that graciously donated.
Eric Vail, I just want to ask for prayers for the family of a young man named Brandon Sauer. He's the young man, 20 years young, that was killed when his car was hit by a train this past week. And I attended his memorial service Thursday, which was a fitting tribute to anybody. But it was very special, and all the nice and kind things that everybody had to say about this young man. And 20 is much, much too young. So prayers for the Sauer family.
Prayers also for Don Bernhardt, who is recovering at St. Anne's now from his surgeries. He and Louise have really appreciated all of the prayers and visits and cards you all have sent, and are very grateful. We keep lifting them up in love. Let us all pray together. Gracious and loving God, every day your wonder fills our lives. And sometimes, God, we don't take the time to see it. We are afraid for the people that we love. We look away from your wonder in fear. We are concerned for what will happen next, and we need your strength beside us to lift us up. So God, we ask for your grace in our lives, for the strength for the people we care for who are ill, for those who no one cares for but you. Help us to find your people, God, to lift them up and to share with them your love in good times and bad. We ask for patience and strength as well for the caretakers, the people who make others' lives better, God. Help them to feel your strength. We ask all of this grateful for the times that we get to spend together, the glory of your days, for the chance to enjoy every part of our lives. God, give us fresh eyes to see the wonder in your world, the sacred and the holy, and the moments which surprise us, how amazing they are. Give us fresh breath to breathe in the wonders of your world and to feel your love around us. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. We know that everything we have is a gift from God. So then let us give back with thanksgiving and share our offerings now.
Father, thank you so much for the wonderful light of the sunshine today and this past weekend. We offer this meager offering and pray that you will help us to be that congregation that does something about it. In Jesus' name, the Prince of Peace, we pray. Amen.
As we go out into the world, go in peace. Love God and serve your neighbor. Know that you are somebody. Somebody who can make a difference in the world. Somebody who has Christ's love, keeping them steady every step of the way. And as you go, go with the grace of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, both now and forevermore. Amen.